You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Book of Lamentations is the Lamentations of Jeremiah. But Ezekiel also had a lamentation, and that's what we find here in chapter 19. The Lamentation of Ezekiel. Now, this is not necessarily very easy to understand. So let's go through it. I trust that on this Sabbath day, the Lord of Sabbaths will teach us, will give us to know what this means, at least have the knowledge to know what it means. And also I trust that he will give us wisdom to know what he wants us to know from this word, which is the word of God. Ezekiel 19. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. This is Ezekiel's lamentation, and it is a lamentation for the princes of the family of God called Israel. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. Do you know what a lamentation is? I mean, this is big time grief. This is just crying out loud and groaning in grief. Overwhelming grief. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is thy mother? A lioness. She lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions. Now, if you're going to understand this lamentation of Ezekiel, here's what you need to pick up on. What is thy mother? A lioness. She lay down among lions. She nourishes her whelps among young lions. God here is identifying himself here as a lioness. Okay? That's difficult. But I think if you see that right at the beginning, this will make a lot more sense to you. God can do that. He is presenting himself in a figure of speech as a lioness. Because what is Israel? Israel are the born-again ones. Israel is the family of God. Israel is God's great and holy name that he got himself in the earth when he chose a people for his praise and for his glory. The planting of the Lord for his praise and for his glory. That's Israel. Okay? And this is what this is. This is Ezekiel's lamentation. It is a lamentation for the princes, the ones who were destined to lead the family of God called Israel, God's people. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is thy mother? a lioness. She lay down among lions. She nourishes her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps. It became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devoured men. The nations also heard of him. He was taken in their pit, and they brought him with chains into the land of Egypt. You see this picture of Israel, of how God is dealing with Israel, okay? This is a lamentation for the princes of Israel, Ezekiel's lamentation. Now, when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. Wow. This is very interesting. Now, she is still this same metaphor, picture of God, say, and his love for his people, and his care for his people. Now, when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions. He became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devoured men. And he knew their desolate palaces, and he laid waste their cities. And the land was desolate, and the fullness thereof, by the noise of his roaring. You see the two houses of Israel here. Then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces. And I can see the possibility that this could also apply to the other nations who in some ways are represented by a lion, a lion's whelp. In some ways that fits the Babylon of today. Again, it was another lion of the lioness, the only nation in history, in fact, established for the express purpose that the nation was established for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion. But it's centered on Israel, the princes of Israel, this lamentation. Then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces and spread their net over him. He was taken in their pit, and they put him in warding chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. You see, we're seeing Israel first being taken into captivity in Egypt, God delivering them, redeeming them. But we see now here that this other young lion, still this nation and people of God, the planning of the Lord, they put him in ward and in chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him into holds that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. She had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule, and her stature was exalted among the thick branches. And she appeared in her height with the multitude of her branches. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered, and fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches. Isn't this something? And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. Now, to help you understand this, just understand what Paul was given to tell us, that all these things were written for our admonition and for our ensample upon whom the ends of the world have come. We should be able to look at this and see this picture in greater clarity than anyone has seen it before. We see Israel again reestablished as a nation. We see that Israel went into captivity on two occasions. We witnessed in our generation this second regathering of the Lord, first the scattering into Babylon and then scattered again throughout the nations when Rome tore down the Jewish nation in 70 AD, but now we see them regathered. But also we see this fire going out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit. You know, these ungodly rulers of modern Israel, setting Israel up to be destroyed. And this is a lamentation. And, child of God, we need to sigh and cry and mourn and lament over the abominations now being done in Jerusalem. If we hope to be sealed of God, we're in the time of Jacob's trouble. And we need the blessings of the God of Jacob. And the shortest distance, the shortest path, the straight line to the blessings of the God of Jacob is to bless Jacob. And that means being prepared in our hearts to do whatever we can to help these people. These are perilous times. I just received from Jerry Golden this, and it's a confirmation of what I've been saying the last couple of weeks. And this is always encouraging, you know, because it should be a consistent message that God's people hear from the Lord now. Shalom there, Lonnie. It should be a consistent message. And so this is quite a confirming word. When a head of state visits the U.S., he or she is greeted with honor, sometimes even military honors. For example, when one of the Arab heads of state comes to the White House, they are even met at the airport by high-ranking dignitaries, often even the president himself. If it happens to be the king of Saudi Arabia, Obama would even bow to him, showing his submission to Islam. If it was a third world leader from Africa, he would get the full military reception. And when they came to the White House, they would come through the front door and be brought directly to the Oval Office. And all of this, of course, would receive full press coverage. But when the Jewish leader of the best and only real friend America has in the Middle East, Israel, comes to visit the White House, he's brought in under the cover of night. Not to the front door. He's brought to a side door. And there he's met by some unknown person and quickly ushered into a side room where he sits and waits for the grand appearance of the usurper-in-chief, who takes his time and wastes the time, the precious time of the leader of the state of Israel. And then he arrives with arrogance and disdain, showing a vindictive attitude toward the Jewish leader of Israel, Netanyahu. It would seem to me that the cover has been completely blown off any pretense of Obama's position on Israel. And the Arabs who call themselves Palestinians, those Jordanians who call themselves Palestinians, he no longer negotiates with Israel in these days. We should understand this. This is very serious, Brady. He now demands, that Israel submit to the Islamic Arabs and give up their land in order to appease them. In short, what he is demanding is the final and total destruction of the Jewish state of Israel. Obama knows the truth, that who and what he is will catch up with him. He knows that. He knows who he is and what he is will catch up with him. But he is intent to destroy the United States from within. And his hatred for the United States of America is, and even its flag, is becoming very well known. His hatred of America. But God has something to say to Mr. Hussein Obama. Zechariah 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem, which is not a settlement, it's the capital of the Jewish nation. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem, and it has never been more in siege than it is right now. Not in the history of the modern state of Israel, which fulfills so many prophecies, which is the focal point of everything that will take place in these final last days of the Antichrist war on the saints. And truly, we see this today as no people have ever seen it. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, and they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. You see, Judah, Samaria, and Jerusalem is what the so-called Muslim enemies of God, the enemies of the God of Israel, those bound in Satan's largest religion, those specific areas are what they're demanding that Israel give to the enemies of God for their Muslim terrorist state. They already got one over in Gaza. You see what they've done with that. How could anybody consider expanding that failed experiment and proof of how insane it is to appease terrorists? And yet this is a demand of the usurper-in-chief. He has stopped every purchase order for weapons to Israel. And Israel, by the way, pays for their weapons. Meanwhile, he's giving all sorts of weaponry to the Muslim Arab states. But Israel pays for their weapons. But he has stopped shipment on all those purchase orders for Israel purchasing defense equipment from the United States. This is serious, Brandon. And you'll see how serious. And in that day, guess what? That's the day, ding, 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 ding. That day. What day is that day? That day is today. And in that day will I, God said so, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people round about. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. In that day will I, God said so, make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All, hear this, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. God said so, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. They're going to be cut in pieces. God said so. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah. Hallelujah. This is still what I look for to happen this year. That God will remove the veil and a new nation, which is today called Israel, will be called Judah. And in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. People depend upon their horses for strength and to help meet their needs, and everything that people are trusting to help meet their needs and provide for them and comfort them. It ain't gonna work. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. They're gonna get to know Yeshua. The veil, the God-ordained veil in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. That veil, that God-ordained veil is about ready to be removed. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in the sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Obama has given Netanyahu until today, brethren, until this Saturday, today, on March 27th of 2010, Obama has given Netanyahu until Saturday, today, the Sabbath, to give his answer on his demands. His demands! And that causes me to wonder, how long will God give Obama? Unlike times past, when the Israeli people wanted their government to give in to the wishes of the United States, at least to some degree, this time Netanyahu has the backing of 90%, if not more, of the Israeli public, even including the left-wing parties. The latest Israeli polls show only 9%, only 9% have a favorable opinion of Obama. Don't tell me Jews ain't smart. Don't tell me Jews have not got great intelligence to figure this out. And it's not rocket scientist stuff. What is wrong with the picture of a guy with his middle name being Hussein sitting in the White House of what was founded as a nation to advance the Christian religion? The latest Israeli polls show only 9% have a favorable opinion of Obama. I'll tell you what, that means they're the smartest people on earth. I don't care what anybody else says. Only 9% have a favorable opinion of Obama and believe he favors the Palestinians in the Arab world. In fact, I personally don't know one Israeli who doesn't believe that Obama is a Muslim. Do you know anybody that doesn't believe Obama is a Muslim? I don't know anybody stupid enough not to know that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. One of the few things he said that you can believe. As believers in, well, he's not a very good Muslim, but he worships Lucifer. He's as Antichrist as it gets. He's one notch below the Antichrist. As believers in Yeshua, Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, you have God's word about the days we now find ourselves in. There should be no doubt in your mind of the need to prepare the best you possibly can for your family and loved ones. This coming year of 2010 will reveal many things, making it all very clear and no longer necessary for these kinds of warnings. But for now, you're forewarned, not by this messenger, but by God's word. it must be very clear to everyone by now that God has the attention of the entire world focused on this small piece of real estate called Israel, and Jerusalem in particular, just as it has been foretold in the scriptures, and all the nations are set against it. For it is here, in this land, God gave his word to you and me. And it is here, in this land, Israel, that he will bring all things together, and his prophetic word shall come to pass. The effect of every vision, child of God, is now at hand. The world is beginning to shake, and it will be brought into total chaos in a very short amount of time. Millions of souls, millions, if not billions of souls, will be weighed in the balance as they make their decision who they will follow. And there are only two choices. Many who say they love Israel will turn against her and be deceived by the evil one of this world. But those who know and love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the only true God, the God of Israel, any God who cannot make the claim of being the God of Israel cannot possibly be a true God. Just another name like Allah for Satan, the devil, the father of lies. But those who know and love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will bless Israel and the Jewish people. God will make the final aliyah of his Jewish people. And we need to help him. Yes, you and me, as Gentile believers in Christ, need to help them get back where they belong. The final regathering. Isaiah 11 spoke of it. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall shut his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Jerry's son Joel and all the IDF soldiers. And Jerry requests you pray for this ministry and your part in it. It's a confirming word. And we always like to hear a confirming word. Okay, we're back to Ezekiel now. Ezekiel chapter 20. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. They recognized this was a man of God. They recognized, they had enough sense about him to know that this was a man of God, that he was a prophet of God who could correctly speak and rightly divide the word of God to them. Well, most people today don't have that much sense. They're in worse shape than these guys were. But these guys were not in good shape. And it came to pass in the seventh year and fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am. I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into the land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then I said unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am that I am. I am the Lord your God. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the very I am who gave the Torah to Moses. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths. You see that S on there? This is the weekly seventh day Sabbath, commonly called Saturday, the day that the Lord was resurrected after he was crucified on Wednesday, Nisan 14 in 30 AD. He was resurrected on the Sabbath as the Lord of Sabbath, on the Sabbath, on Saturday, Nisan 17, before dark. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths. How much more does a born-again believer have reason to properly observe the Lord's Passover? Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am that I am, that I am the Lord that sanctified them. If we're sanctified, it's a work of God. It's something we can't do on our own. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign. It's the only sign between God and his people. Look through the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. 137 times you're going to find it. This thing called Sabbath. 116 verses. Go through and look up the word sign. It's the only sign between God and his people. That's how God knows his people. And that's how his people know they got the right God. The God that created heaven and earth. The God of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths. My Sabbaths, not the Pope's Sabbaths. Not the abomination of Babylonian sun god religion Sabbaths of the pagans and the heathens. Of the Freemasons and the Mormons and every other kind of religious deception on this planet. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them. That's what it is. It's a sign you got the right God. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and what happened to them? They despised my judgments. And what happened to them out there in the wilderness? They walked not in my statutes. I gave them my statutes. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But Moses stood in the gap, didn't he? But I wrought for my name's sake, because his name is the God of Israel. That is God's great and holy name that he got himself in the earth. he didn't do it. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet I also lifted up mine hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, made their own Sabbaths, celebrated Pope Day. For their heart went after their idols, the Queen of Heaven, this Babylonian sun god pagan religion. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said unto their children, in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you that you got the right God. God will know you're one of his by this sign, that you observe his Sabbaths and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. They didn't keep the seventh day weekly Sabbath, and they chose Christmas and Easter, Tammuz birthday, and Aphrodite's big fertility festival. They chose them rather than my Sabbaths. Wow. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. Which, if a man do, what's with this thing? Easter Sunday morning. Easter Sunday morning. Easter Sunday morning. He was resurrected on Saturday. He was resurrected on the Sabbath as the Lord of Sabbath. He was crucified on Wednesday. What's good about Good Friday? Easter eggs, Easter egg hunts, Easter sunrise services on Easter Sunday morning. What's wrong with people? Don't they know what God said? Don't they care what God said? Haven't they seen how God has put up with it and how he is angry with the wicked every day but has no pleasure in the death of the wicked? Haven't they seen? Haven't they heard? Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. Which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Chose the Babylonian Pope Day Sabbaths of the great whore, Mystery Babylon. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them, to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand, and wrought for my name's sake, the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was in that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. For my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, Federal agents were sent by George W. Bush to remove the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God from the Alabama Supreme State Courthouse. The law of the God, the one true God, the Ten Commandments of the true God have been made illegal in America. Because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live, and I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they may know that I am the Lord. Therefore, Son of Man, speak unto the house of Israel, the people who claim to be God's people, to the Christians, to those who claim to regard the word of one true God, who is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's not Allah. Everybody knows Allah is not God. Therefore, Son of Man, speak unto the house of Israel, the people that claim to know the true God, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices. And there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers, and ye commit whoredom after their abominations? For when you offer your gifts, and when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. That ye say, we will be as the heathen, and the families of the countries to serve wood and stone, as I live, saith the Lord God. Surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also. If you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols, for in mine holy mountain, in the mountain in the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel and all them in the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and your first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. Brethren, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. It's going to start there. That is the epicenter, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. There, I will accept with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I have lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake. Not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field, and say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and I shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, O Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak in parables? It's clear today, isn't it? We see how serious this all is today. It becomes more and more clear every day now, doesn't it? And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem, and drop thy word toward the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel, and say to the land of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, and will draw forth my sword out of his sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath, against all flesh, from the south to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of his sheath. It shall not return any more. Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, with bitterness, sigh before their eyes. Can any of us understand how serious this is? You see, what God normally does to chasten his people is just turn Satan loose. But there's something much worse. We so often forget that he is God Almighty with the power to speak this whole creation into being by just the power of his word. Yes, his wrath. This time, he's going to rise up in wrath. God Almighty rising up in wrath. How much more fearful is that than the wrath of Lucifer that we've been enduring? You know, the Muslims, basically, their religion is to execute the wrath of Satan upon those who will not worship Satan. And his wrath can be bad. But we don't fear those who kill a body. We fear those, the one. We fear the only one who, after he kills us, can cast our soul into hell. But now this God, who is the true God, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, he's going to rise up and enter directly into wrath. And it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou? You know, people wonder why I always look so troubled. How can you know what's going on in this world and what time God said that it is? And not be having a wrinkled brow and a concerned look of grief and distress upon you. Have it appear that you're sighing and troubled about something. How could it not be? And it shall be, when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou, that thou shalt answer, for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord God. God said so. He told us to watch, to what to watch for. He told us the things that we should notice, to know that it's coming, and we see it all. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, and say, thus saith the Lord, a sword is sharpened and also furbished. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter. Should we then make mirth? Is it party time? It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree. And he hath given it to be furbished, that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened. It is furbished to give it into the hand of the slayer. Cry and howl, son of man. For it shall be upon my people, it shall be upon all the princes of Israel. Terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh, because it is a trial. And what if the sword condemn even the rod? It shall be no more, saith the Lord God. Now therefore, son of man, prophesy, and smite thy hands together. And let the sword be doubled the third time, the sword of the slain. It is the sword of the great men that are slain, which entereth into their privy chambers. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, and their heart, that their heart may faint, and their ruins be multiplied. Ah, it is made bright. It is wrapped up for the slaughter. Go thee one way or the other, either on the right hand or on the left, whithersoever thy face is set. I will also smite my hands together and cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have said it. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, also thou, son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land. And choose thou a place. Choose it at the head of the way of the city. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabbath of the Ammonites and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defensed. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to open the mouth of the slaughter, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mountain, to build a fort. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths. But he will call to remembrance the iniquity, that they may be taken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand. And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God. Remove the diadem. Take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it. And it shall be no more until he come, whose right it is, and I will give it him. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach. Even say thou, the sword is drawn. For the slaughter it is furbished to consume because of the glittering, whilst they see vanity unto thee, whilst they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain of the wicked, whose day is come, when their iniquity shall have an end. Shall I cause it to return into his sheath? I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy nativity, and I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of the brutish men and skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. Thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.